afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Rocksology, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I am classic Pat Francis.
And I'm the new and improved Gary Lucy.
For 2012.
That's right. Got some new shoes and a new attitude.
Gary does have new shoes. He's got some bright orange, like the color of like a brand new basketball.
Right. Yeah, red. Well, they're mostly
brighter.
Red.
I'm going to look.
It's like part of my new philosophy, WWSHD, what would Sammy Hagar do?
Oh, that's definitely, he would definitely wear this.
He would totally wear these.
He'd wear those. He'd have a margarita, his straw hat.
So I'm ready.
You're the new Red Rocker.
That's right. Indeed. Pat, let me ask you a question. Are you ever at home?
Mm-hmm. And, yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, good. That's it.
Is it a two-part question?
No, that's it. And you're watching a commercial and you're thinking, oh, that's an intriguing song in that commercial. What the hell is that song?
Yeah, which brings me to this. There's been this Chevy truck commercial that's been on for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And they play this song, something about a rock.
Right.
And the guy being very similar to this rock. And I cannot find out who that artist is or what that song is.
I can't help you. I don't know what that is.
Well, if any listeners know, please post it on our Facebook page because I'm trying to figure out.
Have you ever like been turned on to music that way or something?
I think I've heard songs and I'm like, what is that? And then you just Google the name of the commercial, Kodak Camera,
right.
Song from commercial, and then it pops it up.
It's good exposure for bands nowadays that, you know, there's not really radio or records or anything like that. But remember once upon a time when it was just like, it was like a death sentence for bands. It was like, remember Neil Young had that song about, this note's for you.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's making fun. It was,
this bud's for you.
Yeah, it was the Del Fuego's, like, ooh. They used their things in a Miller commercial, and they were just like, they were persona non grata. They were like, but then... It seems to be
okay now.
It's interesting. We should ask Kim Shattuck about it. They did the Muffs did a Fruitopia commercial. Do you remember that?
Fruitopia. Oh yeah, yeah, I do. And you know what? I read an article with an interview with John Mellencamp. Mm-hmm. What was that? What was his? He had a song. I could look it up. He had a song that was on like a truck commercial.
Yeah, he has a truck commercial now.
And they said that basically the way he qualified it was. More people would hear that song from his new album via that commercial than would ever hear it on radio at this point.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah, and the song is... it was a song called Our Country.
Just the way it is.
Yeah, Our Country was the song. So, right. So he was like, well, that was good enough for me. If I can sell albums that way, then let's do it.
I represent the Acme Pink House Company, Mr. Mellencamp.
Sign me up.
We have a proposition for you.
Also, he does a thing for earthquake insurance. It's they play Crumbling Down.
Oh, is that a fact?
Yeah, yeah.
And cherry bombs. He does. Well, all that is by way of introduction to. There was this one commercial for Time Warner. Time Warner Cable has like this home security system.
Okay.
That you could buy. So they're trying to like
Time Warner Cable does.
Yeah, yeah. They're trying to like scale. Like I think it turns on your lights and records your shows or something like that. Or maybe there's like a dog bark feature you can get or something like that.
Okay.
But
it keeps out intruders though.
Exactly.
While it's recording my shows.
Yes. Okay. And here's the song that they use for that, and I was like, oh, that's kind of a jam. I wonder who does that. So I did just what you said. I looked it up, and it turns out it was by the Blue Van, and it's called Be Home Soon, and it goes a little something like this.
Okay.
When night takes over in the afternoon, one thing keeps me staring at the moon. It's smile tells me that I will be home soon.
Knowing my shows will be recorded.
Right.
And no intruders will watch them. Does this sound familiar to you? Have you heard this?
I haven't, but I like it.
Have you heard this, Matt? You haven't? Really?
I haven't.
You
know
like
what? Because you know what? I have DirecTV and I don't watch commercials anymore.
So you probably don't know any. No wonder you don't know any new music.
I push the skip button five times exactly, and then boom, my show starts. My story start. There's Young and the Restless right there,
there
for
it is
me.
Right there. Anyway, so if anybody knows who does the song for the Disney Connects for Xbox, where it's about you're here and there and everywhere, that's I cannot find that song. That's a jam, right? And it's if you Google that, all you get is Selena Gomez.
It's probably hockey.
It might be hockey. What
hockey probably
hockey?
Does it. By the way, if you're wondering, our theme song is by Hockey, and we've still yet
to, hear from Hockey.
I try all the time.
Hockey, call us.
I do. If you know people in the band Hockey, if maybe Hockey doesn't exist, I don't know. If you're the guy who wrote it, please call us.
Somebody
be on our show.
Somebody
can yell at us for using it. But everyone loves it. Download it.
And this is the other big item in the news this week. I don't know if you saw this. That your favorite band, the Black Keys, are in a feud with Nickelback.
Ooh.
Black Keys.
I got to admit, I come down firmly on the side of the Black Keys on this fight.
Wow, this is a first. That's what it takes. And that's speaks directly to my point. In their Rolling Stone cover interview, the Black Keys called Nickelback horrendous shit. And
wait a minute, and that causes a fight?
Yeah, I know. Well, no, but actually, Nickelback turned it around. They said, you know, the full quote was like, "The most popular band in the world, that's horrendous shit." And they're like, "Whoa, thanks for calling us the most popular band in the world, eh?" So they heard that part, which I think is a good attitude. But it got me thinking, they are so universally loathed, and I couldn't quite place what they sound like. I kind of mix them up in my head with Maroon 5,
right, or
Seven Mary
Daughtry.
3, or Daughtry, or all these things. So then I listen to them, I'm like, "Oh, right, that's Nickelback. Ooh, not good.
Look at this photograph." That's one of their songs.
It's that kind of constipated.
Yeah, yeah.
Grunge. But so I wanted to get like they're so universally loathed. I wanted to find the exact level of where that. So I want to start this new feature. It's the Nickelback Decathlon of Suck.
Okay.
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna listen to some Nickelback, and we're gonna listen to something else. We're gonna see which you could stand for longer. And when you've heard enough of either thing, say your safe word. Your safe word is scrimshaw.
Scrimshaw. Okay.
Okay.
Now, am I going to be singing these Nickelback songs?
I'll time it.
Okay, Matt, you can time it, and you'll also run the thing.
And so I'll be singing these songs, or will Nickelback be singing them?
Nickelback will be singing them.
My versions are better.
I wouldn't doubt it. But first, we're going to hear Nickelback. This is...
What does Nickelback mean? It's just the...
One
side of the nickel?
The guy worked at Starbucks, and everything was $1.95, and he kept saying, "Here's your Nickelback." And he just said it so much.
He thought that was a good name.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, if only coffee had been 5 cents more. We would have been saved this whole thing.
Well, then it would have been zero. They would have been called exactly what they should be called, zero.
Exact change.
All right, exact change.
Here we go. Nickelback.
Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing.
Beads of sweat are forming on Pat's.
Like a blind man. Mm-hmm.
This guy's a poet. Yeah, I can't
say it. Say your safe.
I was. It was actually about 15 seconds before that. 19 seconds. 19. 4 seconds in, I was done. But okay.
Okay. So then
it's like grading, like Creed was. Remember Creed?
Oh, right. Right.
With arms wide open.
Maybe they'll have to challenge in another week.
Maybe.
But this week the challenger is. I believe it is car alarm, right?
Oh, car alarm's going. Okay.
Okay. This. See how long we can go on this. Might be a loose cue on this one, but yeah. All right. It's not too bad.
It's kind of like... It changed up.
It changed.
Oh, look at that. Huh. There's a bridge.
This is like dubstep.
It is. Is there a chorus coming?
I can... Uh-huh.
Look at that. See, there's more musical changes in this in this song.
It goes... Here comes the cool part.
I love it. I could still listen to this.
Yeah. Remix this shit.
My favorite part right there. Okay, I'm
all right,
done.
That's cool. And how long was that one?
33 seconds.
All right.
All right.
So Nickelback wins. That's worse than a car alarm.
Yep. We could listen to a car alarm longer than Nickelback.
So if you have any suggestions of things we could do, we need 9 more entries in the Decathlon of Suck.
But maybe Creed could take on a fork in the garbage disposal.
Oh, right. Well, that'll be for March Madness.
Okay. That's
but
what
that's
we'll
that was their big breakout hit from 2001, released on September 11, 2001.
Yep, that's when that album came out. Didn't stop sales.
Al-Qaeda, it wasn't the only threat from foreign shores we got that day. They've sold so many records.
If we buy it, they win. Wait a minute.
Anyway, so that's that concludes all of my new business, unless you had any new...
No. I we'll get right into the topic then. This, I'm not going to tell you what the topic is yet. We're going to play a little bit of this song. You might be able to figure out what we're going to do today by listening to this. And this is, go ahead, just play it, Matt. That's Yoko Ono.
Wait a minute, this is Yoko.
Yes. All right, go ahead, Matt. That's Yoko Ono from the Grammy winning album of the year, Double Fantasy. Yoko Ono has a Grammy Award for that album, and
well deserved.
The topic today was sent in by a listener. I can't remember his name, so please refresh us, sir, on Facebook. Let us know. And it's called "Take the Lead," and this is when someone other than the lead singer sings a song. And so for me, that was a stretch on that, but she did an album with John Lennon.
And I had the hardest time getting my mind around this. We kept going back and forth. I'm like, how could somebody be singing who's not the singer? What are you even talking? You know, and then finally, you sat down and patiently explained it to me. I'm like, oh,
I see what you mean.
Yes.
So this is like some bands, like Queen, everyone sings, or Kiss, everyone sings. So we don't really want to do those. We want to do like bands who have a definitive lead singer,
right,
and then sometimes the percussionist takes lead on a song for no reason whatsoever.
Well, then I might have misunderstood this after all. But oh. I think I got enough to make it through.
I think you got it. I think you got it.
So why don't you give us some more?
Okay, I'm going to start out with two, mm-hmm, and I'm going to call these like the worst of the worst.
Okay,
this is when it's just a bad idea all the way around. The first one is from Motley Crue, an album called Generation Swine. This was their big comeback. Yep. Vince Neil back in the band, all original members. And so Tommy Lee says, hey, how about if I sing a song about my newborn son, Brandon? And so this is Tommy Lee taking the lead.
You are the one, Brandon, my son. You are the one. Your mother gave birth to you with love inside. She had candlelight in songs of life.
She's your mom.
Brandon, I love you. I love her. She's your mom. And in 2 years, I will knock her down the stairs when you are in her arms and go to prison for it.
That's like the first true moment that's ever been on a Motley Crue record. That's awesome. That's
and Vince beautiful. Neil, he doesn't. I always think Vince Neil just wants, he just loves money.
Yeah.
So he doesn't care. He's like, fine, I'll take the day off. You lay down the vocals for Brandon. What a piece of junk.
Man.
That's terrible. Matt is laughing. It's terrible, right?
And
all right.
That a string part there, he played the cello so with his bad. Wang.
He probably did. Really. He probably did. And the cello was in another room.
Hello.
Okay, so this next one, this is from 1998. This is from Van Halen 3. This is the Gary Cherone CD.
Oh, boy.
And this is when Eddie Van Halen was such a crazy, maniacal, wanted to have his hand on every single aspect of the album, that he takes lead vocal.
What?
On a song called How Many Say I? And eventually Gary will come in and try to harmonize to try to make the song good, but it's forget it.
Are you ever so silent when she wanted to talk? Or couldn't keep quiet when she needed a hug? I'm too strong when her little's too much. How many say I?
There's a guy that can sing in the background.
Go on and say yes.
All right. I'm going to quote Frank Zappa when I say, shut up and play your guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
That is awful.
Now, that's probably back when he was recovering from all those hip surgeries, right? So maybe he was on a lot of medication or something.
But, I mean, come on. That is terrible.
Yeah, that's like a sketch. I mean, don't release that.
How many say I?
How many say I?
Lots of us are saying I.
I
give up.
Yeah.
Stop playing that. Stop singing.
Oh, man.
All right. Gary, I'm going to go to you. Go ahead.
Here's a nice palate cleanser. This is the first one I thought of when I finally saw the light. I'm like, oh, yeah. This is from the classic 1988 Pixies album, Surfer Rosa. This is when America fell in love with Kim Deal for the first time on the big hit Gigantic on Rock Solid. Feast your ears on this. It's kind of like a Ricky Lee Jones thing going here, kind of. See? bass player. Like bass. So it starts with the.
So who's the real lead singer of the Pixies?
That's Frank Black Frank there Black. In the back saying, car alarm.
Better than Nickelback.
Yeah.
And this I know, his teeth as white as snow. What a gas it was to see him. Walker every day into a shady place. With her lips she said, hey, party, 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 let's have a ball. Hey, party.
The classic soft, loud, soft formula that Nirvana would use to such great effect.
Now, that works.
That works. Yeah, there you go.
That works when you throw the lead to someone else that can sing.
Right, right. That's fine. And he's not on pain meds or something like that.
So Kim would sing, what, a couple tracks per album, one track?
Maybe one track, two tracks, and then she went and did those her Breeders albums and just got it out of her system that way.
Matt just gave a double fist up
That's good stuff.
For the Breeders.
That's good stuff. I used to subscribe to Breeders Digest. Was their fan club.
Was it really?
Yeah, they had
that. I love it. Thing. I didn't know if you were making a joke or if that was actually the way.
I wish I was that funny.
I'm going to tell people that I heard that from you, and that was your idea.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Matt accuses me many times of playing bands that I've played before, and I agree that this is true. But this is the only song by this band not sung by their female lead singer. This is from the Pretenders. I'm going to do a two in a row by some. I'm going to let the drummers take the lead here for a second. This is sung by Martin Chambers. It was on the Learning to Crawl CD from 84, but not the original CD. It was a bonus track when they reissued it.
I was going to say.
So this is called Faster Slow, The Law is the Law. And this is Martin Chambers, Pretenders.
A girly voice.
Yeah. Kind of a burly looking dude, too.
Yeah. Sitting on the garden fence, knowing which is your size, just a case of common sense.
Get to the chorus. Fast or slow, the law's the law. I could deal with that. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. It seems like it would be a B-side or something.
Yeah.
How do you think that comes up in the studio? Do you think they're like at the end of practice and like, okay, let's call it a day. And like, oh, actually I have a song. And then all right.
You don't sing? No, I do. I actually do. I sing on the way here in my auto. And I sing in the loo. I sing on the lift on the way up. And so I would like, and then Chrissy Hynde just goes, okay, you guys lay this one down without me.
I'm out of here.
I am so out of here.
See you later.
Faster, slow, the law.
He was really cutting edge with his sideburns. He really
He was. He still keeps those.
Oh, is that a fact?
Yeah, he's still rocking those chops.
Nice.
I got his autograph once. It was right after the show, and I went backstage, and Chrissy Hynde, I says, Chrissy around? She left already. Really? All right, I guess you can sign. But it was their second album, so the Dead guys were on it. And he put little X's on their shoulders, and he goes, "Let me give some love to me mates." Well, you just X their shoulders out. All right,
so. Love to me mates. I love that story.
So now here's another drummer. I don't know how this guy managed to sing with. He works with the smuggest prick in rock. This is from the Police. And I don't know how Sting must have been having tantric sex. And he said, look, I'm going to be out for about 12 hours. I just want you guys to, figure out your rhythm parts. And please do not turn all the mics off that are used for voices. There's a special mic for voice, I guess. But this is from their second album, Regatta de Blanc. This is Stuart Copeland singing on Any Other Day.
Oh.
He also wrote it.
There's a house on my street, and it looks real neat. I'm the chap who lives in it.
He's not English, but he says chap.
There's a tree on the sidewalk. There's a car by the door. I'll go for a drive in it. And when the wombat comes,
Wombat.
You will find me gone. We'll look for a place to sit. My wife has burned a scrambled egg. The dog just bit my leg. My teenage daughter ran away. My barn young son has turned out gay.
Matt doesn't like it.
It sounds policey.
Yeah, you can stop it. So go ahead.
It sounds like the Police with some fucking guy singing instead of singing. It's like exactly. There's nothing good about his voice.
No, it's that's what happens when sometimes when you take the lead, you're not good.
But
Sting let him take. Maybe Sting. See, Stewart wrote this song. Maybe Sting was like, I ain't fucking singing that song. Yeah, I don't care if you put Chap in the lyrics or not to try to
British it up.
Yeah, to try to make me sing it. I'm not going to sing it. So you feel free, young Stewart.
When I worked on Blind Date, there was this one location we always used to go to. It was a bar in West Hollywood that was owned by Stewart Copeland's brother. Not Miles, the manager, but
Nigel? Maybe, is there a Nigel Copeland?
There might have been Ian or something like that. And
it's one of those names,
yeah,
right?
One of those British names. And
Rupert? Was it Rupert?
It was Rupert Copeland. And he would always like hang around and like there was this shrine to Stewart in this bar, and they would like and he would always hang around the dates and he would, you know, like just like, so if you have any questions about the Police or anything, you know, go ahead and ask. And everyone's just like, we're 19, we don't know what you're talking about.
I have the worst story about something like this. This was when I was doing stand up in the late 80s, early 90s, and Sam Kinison used to come to Chicago and play a club called the Funny Firm. And his brother Bill would always be in tow. It would be like Carl LeBeau and all these dirtbags that would be in tow. But I met Bill Kinison, and here's how Bill introduced himself to me. I said, "Hi, I'm Pat." And he put out his hand and said, "Hi, I'm Sam Kinison's brother."
Oh, no.
He didn't even say Bill. He didn't say, "Aww. I'm Bill Kinison, Sam Kinison's brother," or "I'm Sam Kinison's brother, Bill." Man. It was, "I'm Sam Kinison's brother."
Aww.
Well, terrific.
Poor guy. Jeez.
Now you drive an Arrowhead water truck.
Oh, man.
I don't know what he does.
It makes me sad.
I know. That is very sad.
But I think that Police guy I was talking about is dead now, too. Sorry. Just occurred to me after saying that. He's with Sam Kinison now. So he's fine. Here's one that's kind of interesting. This is I always want to talk about my I love the New Pornographers. It was one of my favorite bands.
Oh, okay. Matt, and just what was the thing you did?
He gave it the thumb.
Matt gave a
Black Power sign.
Black Power sign. Because that's an all black group, right? All right. Yeah, cool.
It is. And they're another band of heavy hitters. It's like a super group. And you know, when you a lot of the songs are sung by Nico Case, very beautiful right. voice. And then there's Carl Newman, also like a very nice lilt to his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Dan Behar, who is like, and he's got a very peculiar way of singing. And, he's got his fans. He's got a great group too called Destroyer that had a great album last year. And,
that's an all Kiss cover band.
It is,
right?
Exactly.
They only play songs off Destroyer.
Only off Destroyer.
Flaming Youth and
it's very
Shout
limiting.
It Out Loud.
Very limiting.
Very niche.
But this niche. Is off the last New Pornos record. It's the dance song called Silver Jenny Dollar. All and right. I bet you're going to like it.
Take the lead.
Was the name of her act. And it's true, to love her is all I can do. In a world that's beaten everything black and blue, they call a silver Jenny dollar. A silver Jenny dollar. A silver Jenny dollar.
Not really sure what's about. Some change.
Is he saying silver Jenny dollar?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a silver Jenny dollar.
Maybe it's about coin collecting.
They're Canadian.
Loonies
and toonies out there.
Oh, yeah, they got loonies and toonies.
They've got
pesos,
mooses on their money, and
gold
everything.
Doubloons.
It's best not to think about it. But, yeah.
Matt wants it.
I've seen the New Pornographers live a couple times. Sorry, I'm sorry to brag. But to me, that's so funny is like that guy doesn't always tour with them.
Yeah.
So when he is there, the fans go crazy. even though he is empirically the worst singer of all the people singing. But it's like, you know, if you can get the rarity of it, they don't even care. They're like, oh, this is a rare occasion. Yes, he's going to do it. He's going to sing. Oh, wait, he sounds like an elf. Never mind. I don't want it anymore.
I like his version of, why am I such a misfit?
He's a dentist when they're not touring. Yeah. So at least he's living that dream. Yes.
Well, now, Gary, you should continue?
Go for it.
Here we go. I've got now. We're gonna do a trio of bass players.
Oh, okay.
And this first band is a band that's been around since the 70s, and they have a young man as their regular lead singer is Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon.
Oh boy.
And this is from 79. It's an album, not a popular REO Speedwagon album.
Oh, good.
It's called Nine Lives, and this is when they're at the time brand new bass player. Like this was his second album with him. He was a brand new guy, and I don't know how he says, "Hey, you know what?
I got a song,
and I want to sing it." So, but the thing about this song is, this is a fan favorite, and this is a highlight of their live show. Now, their bass player Bruce Hall continues to sing this song. It's called "Back on the Road Again." REO Speedwagon. It's about being on the road. This is also meta. I won't misunderstand it. Not gonna cry. No, it's your job. You gotta go back out there. Oh, wait a minute. Now, we're breaking up? That's what he's doing. He's breaking up with his lady to go on the road. That's good.
Now, that's from 1979, you say?
That's from 79. And they continue that's in their live set to this day.
Because that sucks at a 1986 level. That's it's really bad.
Maybe you'd like the live version.
Maybe.
I doubt it.
I heard it's a highlight of the show, but...
It is. It's people like it.
Man.
Maybe because they don't have to hear Kevin Cronin say, "What's up?"
Now, at what point did they release... You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
That was the album before this. This was their follow-up.
Oh, really?
That's why this album's not perceived as a good, because it was not welcomed after, because that album's good.
Oh, okay.
The Tuna Fish album's good.
I'm going to take your word for it.
It's got Time for Me to Fly, and it's got some hits
okay,
on it.
Okay, all right.
This one does not.
That does not. What others in the bass player?
Okay, here's here. Now, this is a bass player for a very, very popular band, still popular today. The Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
This is Flea.
Right.
But this is from the album that is, I think this is the one that no one likes. It was still produced by Rick Rubin, but this is when Dave Navarro came in for the album One Hot Minute.
Oh, right.
And so little material that they let Flea sing a song called Pee.
Pee?
Yep.
I'm a little pee. I love the sky and the trees. I'm a teeny tiny little ant.
Matt pointed out that he's one of the best bass players. Sounds like my child on bass.
Nothing. So you have nothing to hide. I'm a pacifist.
He gets crazy here in a minute.
So I can fuck your shit up. Oh yeah, I'm small.
He's gonna get crazy here.
Oh yeah. Ooh. I'm small.
Still have to play. You gotta hear this other part.
Fuck you, asshole.
Wait a minute.
You're homophobic, redneck dick.
What? That's good.
But I...
Hey, this little pee is... He's talking to me. I would love the video of just like a plate of peas, and then his face is on one, and then he starts to say, "Fuck you, asshole."
Yeah, with a little... Well, you could listen to that on your pee pod. That had to be just like a freeze.
Dad joke. I like the joke.
He didn't write that down. That was just freestyle, right?
Like, I don't know.
Top of his head.
That bass line had to be written down, don't you think?
I think you're probably right.
All right, I got one more bass player.
Okay.
This is my band. These are my boys from Rockford.
Right.
Fucking Cheap Trick.
Sure.
This is from the Dream Police album. This is Tom Peterson on the 12-string bass, and he still sings this live in concert. Gives Robin a time for a smoke and a BJ, and I don't know if that happened in 2012, but this is I think he is not the singer Robin Zander. What did you say?
Give him time to adjust his corset. Between songs.
But this is he's not obviously as great a singer as Robin Zander, but this is called I Know What I Want, and let me tell a story about this. Yeah. Whenever they sing this in concert, Rick Nielsen will always go, anyone want Tom to sing a song? And one night in Wisconsin, I was at a theater, and the guy I was with, we were Big Cheap Trick fans, but we were tired of Tom singing his song. So we started going, and no, don't sing it. You know, we don't want Robin to play drums, and we don't want, you know, Bunny to play guitar. We don't want Tom to sing a song. And the woman in front of us turns around and she says, hey, Tom's my brother.
Ooh.
And I'm like, no, it isn't. And I look at her face. I'm like, no, it is. Yes, it is. It looks exactly like him. So we're like, we're just fooling around. So Tom's great. Rock. All right. So this is I Know What I Want by Tom Peterson.
This song, yeah.
You know this one?
Sure.
If he doesn't sing this, he'll sometimes sing Working. Is it Working for the Man by Lou Reed? That's cool. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, that's not too bad. How does a 12-string bass work? Is there like three necks on it, or are they right next to
it's,
each other?
No, the strings are wherever there'd be one string, there's actually three there. So he has to hold down three.
Wow.
As opposed to one. It's just a thicker, fatter sound.
It must be calloused hands on there.
Yeah, man.
Now, was Tom Peterson's sister hanging around with like Sharon Carlos, or was it with, were there any other siblings?
I'll tell you what, she did not have good seats. But she did look exactly like him, so I still think that it might have been his sister.
Same feathered hair and everything like that. Let's go with another pair of bass players. Let's hear a rock solid twofer. We're gonna start with some REM and then see if Matt can blend
Mike,
it in.
Mike Mills is gonna sing some?
Mike Mills is gonna sing, and then we'll see if Matt can blend it into the Clash. We'll see how well he can mix this up here.
Oh, what album is this from?
Zagged On You. This is from Out of Time. This is Near Wild Heaven. The one with Losing My Religion and all that stuff. Shiny Happy People.
Oh, those terrible hits.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what?
Whenever we hold each other, we hold each other. There's a feeling that's gone. Something has gone wrong.
I'm feeling shiny and happy.
It's pretty shiny and heavy.
He's almost as good as Flea.
Yeah.
Vocally. No, I'm kidding. Flea's terrible. I forget who's the bass player for the Clash.
It's Paul Simonon.
Oh, he's the guy that looks scary.
Yeah, very scary.
Like he'll kill you.
He'll kill you. He'll hit you with his bass. Like on the cover of London Calling. This is from London Calling. And it's about to get really real. It's about to get gritty in here.
I should know this one because I love London Calling, thanks to Gary.
You gotta come with your hands on your head on the trigger of your gun.
I'm so new to the Clash, I never know who's singing.
Shut down on the pavement, or waiting in death for.
This is, that's Guns of Brixton, and don't think I didn't have that written on my peachy folder. It has this very serious high school, like, you know, when they come, you know, kick down your door, how are you going to come? With your hands on your head or in the trigger of your gun, man.
Yeah, take that.
I thought that was going to happen. Fuck,
take that.
Fuck then, Reagan,
then,
man.
The football player would pick up your book and hit you in the
exactly,
back of the head with
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's basically how it was. But that's, you know, double album, you could, you know, there's room to space out, like, okay, well, at the
baseline. I like that. I like that one. I like both of those. Oh, I'm going to go find that Mike Mills song because I don't have that.
Oh, yeah, that's a decent album. That's a you need that.
Dan Katz recommended a Black Sabbath song to me, and then I went on iTunes to listen and buy it, and they've pulled all Black Sabbath off.
What?
All Aussie Black Sabbath is off iTunes. They
What's
must,
that about?
They're probably going to re-release it when their new reunion album comes out, but
crazy
there's a song from Technical Ecstasy called It's All Right that the drummer sings.
Oh, okay.
And so check that out.
Now I want it even
Thanks
more
to Dan,
that I can't
Dan Katz.
I got to have it now.
We are now going to do a trio of guitarists in the band.
Okay.
We're going to start with number 10 from the band that you like.
You know that band.
I think I have it right.
Oh, we're not playing that one. Oh, wait, you might not. Oh, yeah, we're not playing that one. Yeah, start with that one.
It's all part of the show. We rehearse this.
Don't move, don't talk at a time.
Oh,
this
boy.
This is The Edge.
The Edge.
From Zooropa. This song called Numb. This is just cool enough to... What's that? There is a video for this. They're doing all one take, doing crazy...
Terrible, stupid
stuff
video.
To his face. Like, this is just... This to me, though, is kind of unique and cool enough that I thought it was kind of cool. What? This is kind of unique and cool enough that I thought it was cool. Do you like it? You don't like Numb?
Sorry.
Let's hear a little bit more of it.
I like those noises, I guess. But... All I can see is his big head, though, getting wrapped up in cords and stuff, and kind of ruins it for me.
They put lipstick on him. I think Bono kisses him at one point. Wouldn't it be cool if, like, Adam Clayton came and, like, put his cock and balls right on the top of his head and he doesn't
know
it?
Never broke character. Then you'd have something.
You never need to hear that, though. It's, like, it's not bad, but why would you ever listen to that?
Well, Matt wants to know why you'd ever listen to that. And I don't know, just to change it up a little bit from Bono's voice? I don't know. Do they do that live sometimes? I don't know either. Don't sing it, don't do it, don't want to hear it anymore. Please don't. Where's Bono? Get him back on the floor.
Massive bathroom line.
That song makes you numb. Now we're going to go to who doesn't like Foreigner? This is from, come on, man. This is guitarist Mick Jones.
Sure.
Different Mick Jones from the Mick Jones that's in The Clash.
Right.
This is on their second album, Double Vision, and he has a very, very high type of singing voice. Mm-hmm. This is a song called I Have Waited So Long, and I like this song. I don't care what you say.
I have waited oh so long. Please don't tell me, baby, I was wrong.
Lou Gramm's out in the hall getting chemo on his brain tumor.
Oh, no.
No, that didn't happen for years.
Till the time was right, I've counted the days.
Have you ever heard this, Gary?
I never heard of it. It's kind of sweet.
Yeah. It's a 1978 little sweet thing.
Yeah.
You got your sandwich between your Hot Blooded and your and whatever else is on Double Vision. Your Double Vision.
Where's right. What's Dirty White Boy? What's that on?
Dirty White Boy's on Head Games.
I like Head Games.
I love that album produced by Roy Thomas Baker. Thank you, Roy.
I like that one, Head Knocker, on there.
Head Knocker's on the first album.
No, wait, that's not on Head Games?
That's on the debut.
Oh, man.
Gary.
I stand corrected.
Stick with your new, and I'll stick with my classic.
Okay, sorry about that.
All right, here's my last one. Now, this to me, this is a gem of all gems.
Okay.
Because this is from 2002, the Rolling Stones released a 2-CD set called 40 Licks.
Right.
And it encompassed... everything. You know, they tried to get as much stuff on these two discs as possible.
Yeah.
But as also, they did four new songs. Three were sung by Mick, and one was sung by Keith. And this is called Losing My Touch. And I love this song. It's not what you, it's not a rocker at all. And I just love this song. This is, to me, the best of the best of Take the Lead.
And what album was this off of?
This is off 40 Licks. These were one of this was one of the four new funny. One of the four new songs.
Oh, with the four new songs, yeah. I'm sorry.
How things happen just as we think we got it.
all straight.
Charlie's back there working the cymbals.
He's got those brushes.
Yep.
Everything seems to be moving forward. 30 step, we just sit around and wait.
I just gotta chill.
Seems things are in a lockdown. Nervous looks all around.
What do you think, Matt?
Everyone is speaking.
Let's get to the chorus.
There's a lot of bum notes on those, guys, but they just let it go. That's fine.
I know
cool.
They do.
Yeah.
No one wants to make a sound. I'm losing my touch.
Nice.
This is from 2002. So Keith was 70 years old when he recorded
only 70
this.
Years old. A lot of feeling there. It yeah. sounds like this is what Eddie Van Halen was going for.
Yeah, and just
on that one
and couldn't. You know what? Thank you. That's good. Yeah. That's a good comparison. Yeah, I agree. And you know, this isn't Happy or Before They Make Me Run or Little TNA. This is. I really, really, really like that song. I don't think a lot of people have heard it because they're like, "Well, I don't need to buy that Greatest Hits because I own all the stuff already," or they bypass the four new tracks because those are bullshit.
But that was cool. I believe it from him. It sounds like him just trying to, you know, open his veins and just lay it out there for you, like, so to speak, is what I'm saying.
Gary, it's to you to close it out.
All right, we'll close it out with a pair. It ain't no fun unless the drummer gets some. I think that's
right.
We've heard Matt say that quite a bit.
Oh, Matt has it on a T-shirt.
Now, when you think of the Velvet Underground, you think of heroin. And
right.
you think of feedback and cognitive mm-hmm. dissonance and everything like this. But you probably don't think of a little ditty like this.
I'm sticking with you, 'cause I'm made out of glue. Anything that you might do, I'm gonna do too.
That's the drummer Mo Tucker singing.
Stagecoach.
There's no drums in this song.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see.
I'm doing the same. Saw you hanging from a tree.
Can't do two things at once.
And I made believe it was me.
Then finally Lou Reed comes in and kind of muscles her out. And he kind of, they sing a little bit together. And then he ends up singing the end. But I've heard this at like more than two weddings, I think. Like a lot of people. You never heard this?
I haven't. It sounds like a little kid. And then like
a creepy uncle.
A creepy, very creepy uncle comes in.
But oh, listen, here's the current events part.
People go into the stratosphere.
Soldiers fighting with the Kong.
So it has that timeless quality. That's kind of pretty, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, crazy story about Mo Tucker. She's like a weird, like, tea party fruitcake now. Like, if you go on YouTube and, like, yeah, just search for Mo Tucker Tea Party, and there's, like, an interview of her with, like, CNN of, like, you know, we got to get rid of this Obamacare. Like, wait, do you know how many people are on heroin because of you?
Yeah. I hope Obama has Metallica and Lou Reed then play some cuts from Lulu at the Democratic convention.
We could only hope. And then finally, closing it out, unless there's any objections, if you want to go ahead and hit
none.
That. Are you a big Oasis guy at all?
No.
There's one with Noel Gallagher on lead. So you don't, where do you come down on the BDI versus Noel Gallagher Flying Birds? They've broken up into two things. You don't have an opinion?
I don't.
All
when
right.
When I hear it, I like it, but I just, there's some stigma about the Oasis to me. I don't know what it is.
You
says
like,
the guy who likes REO Speedwagon's bass player.
You like American style. You like it like a rock. Chevy truck style. Well,
they sing that cigarettes and alcohol song, don't they? Is that
maybe.
Them?
Maybe.
Gary?
I don't know. Stumped. So anyway, great show, Pat.
Thank you, Gary. Does Oasis have a best of CD?
I think they might.
That might be something I should try.
They put like the least effort into their songs, I think. They're like, what I could do. You know, it seems like they've never really tried too hard, but they've just had such natural ability they can do it. And
oh, and they have that chemistry of a Ray Davis and a Dave Davis.
Exactly. The Fighting Brothers.
Like us on Facebook. Keep listening. Thank you, Silent Partner, Matt Belknap.
Follow us on Twitter. Tell your friends that you like it.
And we'll see you soon. Shout out to Nina Berry. My friend Nina.
And thanks to whoever recommended this topic. For Pat Francis, I'm Gary Lucy.
I'm pulling my earlobe.